Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ho Meng. Let's focus on PETRONAS this morning. PETRONAS's second quarter net income plunged 96% year on year to 348 million from over 9 billion the same period last year. What's your assessment of the group's recent performance in the second quarter? Did it perform to expectations?
Well, I think it is expected for PETRONAS for both the upstream and downstream performance, which is actually in line with that that's reported by super major peers, you know, like for example BP, Shell and ExxonMobil in their own second quarter 2016 earnings, they have reported the same trend. I think for PETRONAS what has happened is that for the upstream side, both its entitled production volumes have weakened, and of course the prices of LNG has fallen. I mean, yeah, oil price has went up on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but LNG, liquefied natural gas prices continues to fall, where based on the long-term LNG prices right now, pegged to the JCC benchmark, it has fallen to only $5 per MMBTU as of May, where 2 months ago this figure was at about $7. So that the LNG side of the business might have also affected the upstream earnings of PETRONAS. In that respect. For the downstream side, although PETRONAS did recognize better volumes because of higher plant utilization, therefore, Q on Q, their downstream earnings actually saw better improvements, but this upside was kept by the weaker refining margins that was encountered by all the other players globally, because refining margins have actually got away from its peak and it's now back to a downtrend in recent times. So that probably explains the quarter-on-quarter performance for PETRONAS, which is actually in line with the industry.
PETRONAS incurred huge impairment losses over 7 billion ringgit from its upstream assets, including the Gladstone LNG project. What kind of concerns do you think PETRONAS is facing, and how bad is the situation?
Well, I think for PETRONAS' point of view, cash flow is more important for them. So any impairments or whatever is just reflect the current environment, and it's an opportunity for all oil majors to readjust their operating assumptions and asset values in that manner. But I think, of course, from PETRONAS' point of view, cash flow is more important, and impairment is not a cash flow item.
PETRONAS' cash flow position is still in deficit, but in your assessment, are recent efforts by management to stay prudent beginning to yield results on its operating cash flows?
Well, we have been tracking key cash flow indicators for all the oil majors, not just PETRONAS. There are two indicators that are worth noting at. First is the gross gearing, and secondly is the trend of their operating cash flow. Well, I guess for both aspects, PETRONAS' recent performance have been quite commendable, because although its gross gearing has surged to about 16.5%, it used to be only 9% back in 2014. But this is actually consistent with the industry, because the other super majors and some selected national oil companies, actually the gross gearing have surged much more in recent times. Currently, the industry average for these big players in the world, the gross gearing is now ranging about 25 to 60% on average, which is much higher than PETRONAS's own gross gearing. And I think part of that is because PETRONAS is very conservative. And that comes to the second point, where in the second quarter, where PETRONAS actually recorded a better operating cash flow, which is partly due to the cost savings that they have from the Coral 2.0, where they have saved about 1 billion ringgit on year-to-date. That is also a very good result, in my opinion, because their operating cash flow, it's still matching the capex that they have incurred, which is about 25 billion as of year-to-date in ringgit terms. Whereas if you look at the peers, although everyone has been cutting capex, some of them huge significant cuts, but the operating cash flow is still falling faster than the capex. And we noted that the peer average for the operating cash flow over the capex incurred, that ratio has fallen below 1x for the industry since early this year. Whereas for Petronas, it is still at about 1x. Mm. But I think overall, they still need to stay prudent because if you include the dividend commitments in this ratio, then I would say that Petronas is still far from achieving a cash flow neutrality because they have an obligation to pay the dividends and they have capex that they have to incur. So they have to continue on with their cost-saving measures and so forth.
Do you think Petronas will be able to meet their own 16 billion ringgit dividend payout target, or is that up in the air?
Well, I think they have to meet the target. It is already a high and fast target, I believe, but they have room for it because they can always, as a last resort, tap into their cash reserves. I think it's about, if I'm not mistaken, 100 billion of cash reserves that they have, or they can always tap into the bond markets, like what I mentioned, because their gearing level is still very low. They can always gear up their balance sheet in the event if they need to fulfill their cash flow obligations. But of course, that will be the last measure they will take in my belief, because Petronas is naturally very conservative in the way they manage things.
Petronas is staying conservative on its target for oil prices, as is everyone else in the market. They're targeting about $30 per barrel, despite a slight recovery in global oil prices in the second quarter. What's your own outlook for crude oil?
Our view for crude oil is still the same because we follow the consensus view on oil prices. So our oil price view for this year and next year remains at about $42 for this year and $54 per barrel for next year, respectively.
As Petronas embarks on further cost-cutting measures, do you expect further capex cuts and perhaps a poor pipeline of contracts for the second half of this year?
It is entirely possible that the actual cost and capex cuts may be even more than what they guided, because it has been the case for several other oil majors where both capex and cost is still trending downwards, even more than what they are guiding. I think one reason for this is because margins and costs with these customers and the contractors, the vendors and suppliers that they work with, the renegotiation of contracts are still trending down. So the surviving contractors are competing really hard in the current so-called cost deflationary environment, continue to be utilized for contracts. So that has led towards a continued trend of cost savings for these oil majors who are the clients, so to speak. So if the cost savings are greater than expected, of course, that will be positive for cash flow. And I think it makes sense for Petronas to continue to assume $30 oil price assumption for its own capital decisions. It is the right thing to do for them to emerge stronger in the longer run. But of course, having said that, it will mean that they will be very selective in terms of awarding any new contracts. Instead of awarding mega contracts, it will most likely be very selective phases, and the pipeline of contracts and visibility will still be very weak, even for the second half. But I think for certain mega projects like the Pengerang, as the project progress continues to ramp up, the capex for those will have to be incurred. So I would expect to see the capex for those to continue to go up.
Last we spoke, Bumi Armada was one of your top picks. Are you still bullish on this particular company?
Yes, we are. Bumi Armada is still our only top buy for the sector at 99 cents target price. We see a major upside because currently its trading range of about 0.6 times price to book is very attractive. And given that it is one of the biggest proxy to the FPSO sector, which is a very defensive value chain, because when the clients awarded the project for Bumi Armada to contract an FPSO, they need these assets for their production. So termination risk is very low for those projects as long as Bumi delivers their conditions on their side. So I think the share price should be raised as long as, because the key point for Bumi right now is to deliver their four projects by late of this year. I think the last day is by October. So they've already delivered the Malta project. So now it's the other three left, which is the Kraken, Olomendo and Madura. And the good thing is each of these projects are very long-term, between 8 to 18 years kind of firm contract tenure. So they are good for cash flow visibility, and they may also double Bumi's profits by next year, according to our forecast.
That was Kong Ho Meng, senior analyst at UOB Kay Hian.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.